We continue our COVID-19 coverage with officials from Baxter Regional Medical Center. We're joined this morning by Ron Peterson, President and CEO of BRMC, Stephanie Free, Infection Preventionist, and Tobias Pugsley, Director of Marketing. Good morning.
Good morning, Sonny. How you doing?
I am doing well. Ron, let's start with you. Do you have any update on the latest statewide numbers?
I do. You know, the statewide numbers are creeping up. We're at a very high level. We have a total of 135,902 total cases, and we're up to 16,576 active cases. That's a very high level of active cases for our state. Of those 16,576, there are 895 that are in the hospital, that are hospitalized, and 137 of those are on ventilators. And I just want to, again, say that the 895, I think, is a very high level, and we just need to try to make sure that we can reduce the spread as much as possible so that we don't overload the capacity of the hospitals throughout the state. We are up to 2,245 deaths across the state. If you look at Baxter County, we seem to be trending along with the state. We're over that 1,000 mark now in total cases. We have 1,125. We have 232 active, which is very active for Baxter County. And we have 22 deaths in Baxter County. If you look at the at Baxter County and then the five surrounding counties in Arkansas, you have a total of 683 active cases. And so COVID is definitely here, definitely in the north central area, and we just all want to be careful. We have had a total of 181 admissions, COVID admissions, to Baxter Regional, if you look at the Baxter Regional numbers. We currently have 32 in the hospital. That's up about 50% over what we were at last week, and we seem to be climbing each week. So, again, that's a little bit of a concern. We have 7 in our ICU, and 4 of those are on vents. We have tested a total of 10,321 individuals, and we have found 689 positives. And we have had 164 employees that have tested positive with COVID, and we currently have 47 employees that are in isolation because they have tested positive in active cases.
Well, that total number of staff that has acted COVID-19, that's down some from last week. So will the pause on non-emergent procedures that require overnight stays, is that going to remain in place?
You know, Sonny, we evaluate that actually every day. We look at it, but we do an official evaluation a couple times a week and get our medical staff input on that. We're going to be evaluating that again on Thursday, looking at next week. Right at the moment, it's just for inpatient stay, surgical cases that require an inpatient stay that are non-emergent, basically. And we're working with our medical staff with that, and we have that on hold right now through Friday. And we'll be evaluating tomorrow to see what we'll be doing next week.
Okay. Well, hey, you were named to the governor's COVID-19 task force, and we understand that there was a meeting this week. Can you tell us what your role on that task force is and what the next steps might be for the task force?
You know, I can. I was really honored to be named, and I think it's very helpful to get a good view of what's happening in the state and get some understanding and hopefully also get some additional resources to this area. So I'm very honored to be on that task force. We did meet Monday morning, 8 o'clock, so the governor is, I think, very concerned about, and that's why he named it the Winter Task Force, because he's very concerned about this winter and overloading hospitals and the healthcare system. Right now, one of the first things we did was we got an update kind of by region of what's going on, and right now it's very difficult to find hospital beds, COVID or non-COVID, anywhere in the state. We seem to be finding them and squeezing them in, but it's very tight. And so that's the concern, is what happens if we go up to that next level. And so it's very important for us all to get a jump on doing the precautions that we can to slow that spread down as much as possible. But the governor outlined 4 different subcommittees bed coordination plan, resources, which included kind of staffing, PPE, and other items, compliance, which kind of looked at the current mandates that are out there, how do you educate and encourage and make sure that those mandates are actually followed, and then looking at reducing the spread. And I was asked to be on two of the task forces, the compliance and the reducing the spread. We had one task force meeting yesterday. I have another one today, and then we have an overall committee meeting on Friday to share where we're at and what plans we have at this point in time.
Okay, well, that's good news for Baxter Regional and for all the folks here in the Twin Lakes area. Stephanie, with the number of positive staff mentioned, what steps has Baxter Regional been taking to stop spread between the staff members?
Yeah, so, of course, the number one thing we can all do is hand hygiene. So, you know, I can't stress that enough. So that is something that we all can do to make a big, huge impact with anything besides COVID. The next thing that's really important with this is something that we, of course, keep mentioning, and that's masks. And so staff are to wear a mask the entire time they're in the facility, unless they're eating, drinking, or they are in a private office alone. The only time they can take those masks off is when they're eating or drinking. And, of course, when they're eating and drinking, we're also encouraging them to social distance from each other so that they're, you know, not close. They're not having that close contact. And then even in the cafeteria, you know, the tables are spread out 6 feet apart so that anyone eating in the cafeteria is social distancing. What we're finding is that masks really is making a difference, especially when the infected individual is wearing the mask. That is really preventing any further infections. And I can't stress enough, too, that the biggest thing with COVID is that you're contagious 2 days before you show symptoms. And so that's why wearing a mask at all times is important. If you wait till you start showing symptoms, it's too late.
Well, speaking of taking care of everything and not being too late, Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and how can people safely observe the holiday?
Yeah, so the Arkansas Department of Health has some great guidance on their website. If you go to healthy.arkansas.gov and then click on Find Out About COVID-19, there's a lot of guidance documents from the Arkansas Department of Health, and one of those is for the holidays. And so basically, of course, the main thing we can stress is not to participate in any in-person holiday activities if you have tested positive for the virus and you're within your isolation period, which is 10 days for mild illness and 20 days for moderate to severe illness, regardless if you have symptoms or not. So even if you don't have symptoms, if you're within that 10-day window and are still in isolation, please stay home and don't have visitors. Also, if you've been exposed to someone that's been diagnosed with COVID-19 and you're still in your 14-day quarantine period, even if you've had a negative test, please don't participate in in-person activities. Or if you're experiencing any symptoms of COVID and you think, you know, I might have this, but you've not been tested yet, please don't participate in in-person activities. And also, just in short, you know, we need to continue to avoid situations where we have large numbers of people, if there's poor ventilation. So if you're going to be indoors, you know, if the weather's nice, have the doors and windows open, increase that ventilation in your home, avoid prolonged contact with others, any crowding areas. And, of course, if you're going to be around others that aren't wearing their masks and are outside of your immediate household, those are all things we need to avoid.
Thanks, Stephanie. Tobias, can you tell us about the community-wide testing that's going on this month?
Yes, honey. We've actually got a community-wide testing going on today at the Baxter County Fairgrounds. That's going to start at 10 a.m. and go till 2 p.m. We've said this several times that when our partnership with UMS, when they come up here, they bring about 200 tests with them. And it's a very well-organized, very well-run. We partner with the county and the city, and then they provide a tremendous amount of resources to make it happen. And then we provide some staff to help as well. So that's happening today at the Baxter County Fairgrounds. We do ask that you bring a phone to register. If you don't have one, they do have devices that you can register on. They'll test anyone 16 years or older. There will not be any out-of-pocket costs for the tests, and they will also be offering the free flu shots today with the COVID-19 test. But, again, you have to have the COVID test in order to get the flu shot. So we're excited about that today. Come on out. We do anticipate that we will probably reach the max of the 200 tests, so we do encourage people to try to come early today.
All right. Ron, do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, Sonny, I just think that as we've seen the increase in the COVID, we've also seen an increase in everybody's stress level. And so I'd remind people just to stay calm, but yet be smart. Take time out of your day and either do some exercise or focus. Prayer always helps. And make adjustments, as Stephanie said, for the holidays. And, of course, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart. And wherever you see large crowds, turn and go the other way.
All right. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And y'all stay safe.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Ron Peterson, President and CEO of Baxter Regional Medical Center, Stephanie Free, Infection Preventionist, and Topias Pugsley, Director of Marketing, with our Wednesday COVID-19 update.